to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
Les vibrations de la communauté, CKUT FM 90.3.
On January 25th at 8 p.m., the Cinémathèque Québécoise presents Gashrat. Gashrat is Kelly, Tara, Chelsea, and Gabby. Gashrat sets the record straight. Gashrat remembers a lost Montreal. Gashrat is a convergence of spirits deserving each other. Gashrat is a rock band. Gashrat is back for one concert, for one night only. Get your tickets now at cinematheque.qc.ca. Presented by the Cinémathèque Québécoise and CKUT.
All right. Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Martin.
Yes.
You'll forgive me for not rising.
An accident?
Might call it that. Carelessness, actually. Never turn your back on a patient. Teach you that at school, don't they?
Yes, they do, Dr. Starr.
Hey, Dr. Rutherford. Lionel Rutherford.
I understood that Dr. Starr was head of this institution.
I'm Dr. Starr's associate. Sit down, sit down.
You advertised for a senior houseman. I sent along my credentials and Dr. Starr asked me to come along for an interview.
I've read your report, but it doesn't tell me what I need to know. Your background qualifies you to set up a fashionable psychiatric practice to hold wealthy old ladies by the hand while they tell you about their horrible husbands. But we're a long way from Harley Street, out here. This is an asylum for the incurably insane. You want to know the most useful thing here? This control system for the door upstairs. No keys, just an electrical device. The door can't be opened from either side unless I press that button.
If you're trying to warn me that some of the inmates are potentially dangerous, you needn't worry. I've dealt with disturbed patients during my training.
By what methods?
Kindness, understanding, insight.
Exactly my ways, 20 years ago. Now I'm not so sure. Those poor devils up there can't be cured. They can only be confined and kept from being dangerous.
Is that Dr. Starr's outlook, too?
Dr. Starr is upstairs now.
What, with the patient?
Dr. Starr is a patient. Dr. Starr attacked me a few days ago, suddenly, without warning. That's how I injured my leg.
Yes. Working with the mentally disturbed can lead to a breakdown.
The nurse and orderly managed to transfer Dr. Starr upstairs with the other patients. I can't go there. The orderly gives me reports. He says the doctor is perfectly rational now. Except for one thing. A new personality seems to have taken over. With its own name and its own life story.
Hysterical feud.
Meaningless label, don't you think?
It describes something that exists. From time to time, a man disappears. And is discovered much later, living in a different town, under a different name, following a different occupation. Because something happened in his earlier life that made it completely intolerable.
You believe you could recognize such a case?
I'm certain of it.
Very well. We'll call it a test. There are several patients upstairs with the sort of condition you describe. Go up there. Talk to them. If you can recognize who is or was Dr. Starr, then I'll consider you qualified for the position.
I will recognize him.
Him? How do you know the doctor's a man? Reynolds.
Yes, Doctor.
Reynolds. Yes. I'm sending a young man upstairs. Martin. Dr. Martin. Now listen to me carefully.
Thank you. Dr. Martin. I'm Max Reynolds, the orderly.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Come this way. It keeps out the draft, as Dr. Starr used to say.
You know why I'm here.
Dr. Rutherford gave me full instructions.
What can you tell me about the doctor?
Who? Rutherford?
Starr.
Nothing. You have to be given full cooperation, but no clues.
Are all these rooms occupied?
Yes. We keep them locked, of course, as a security measure.
And this one is...
It's my office.
Aren't the patients free to move around at all?
They're not too badly off. You'll see for yourself.
First patient?
Mm-hmm.
Name?
She calls herself Bonnie.
B Star.
That's a question for you to decide. Bonnie, come along.
Here's Dr. Martin to see you.
Leave me alone.
I was hoping I could talk to you.
Talk? That's all you people ever do, is talk. Nobody listens.
I listen too.
You wouldn't believe me.
Perhaps not, but I am willing to listen.
Well, if it makes any difference.
Hope to God we get to the airport on time.
For the last time, Walter, there's nothing to worry about. Did it arrive?
Yes, it's here. They finished installing it about an hour ago.
There's nothing to worry about.
That's easy enough for you to say, Bonnie, but supposing something goes wrong?
It can't go wrong, not if you follow the plan.
I'll follow it. But if only I could see you first.
You'll see me soon enough. I'll be waiting for you once it's over.
I'll ring you.
Walter? You're home early.
I didn't get into town today.
But you did get into the brandy.
This happens to be my first drink.
Not your last, I'm sure.
Can I fix you one?
Yes, please.
How did your class go?
Oh, it's not a class. Professor Kalanga is a spiritual leader.
Professor? Back in Africa, he'd be just another witch doctor.
What do you know about it? Don't forget, I lived there for years. After all, my father was...
Governor General of the colony. It's a good thing he can't see his daughter now. The poor old boy'd turn in his grave, taking voodoo lessons from a black charlatan.
It is not voodoo. There are natural forces which are stronger than life or death. Forces which modern civilized man has forgotten.
I wish you'd forget all this mumbo-jumbo. What's that?
It's called Anuanga.
I think it's revolting.
It's not supposed to be pretty. The serpent is a symbol of the life force. And the teeth are to protect one from evil.
There's no evil in your life.
Oh, but there is.
What do you mean?
Bonnie.
That's all over and done with, I swear it.
Only last month you came and asked me for a divorce.
I haven't seen her since. You have my word on that.
I'm glad you haven't. Because I told you then, and I'm telling you now, There won't be any divorce. Oh, I know you, Walter. You're a weak, vain, selfish opportunist. You're content to live off my money. But you are mine. And I will never let you go. Never. Now, you do understand that, don't you?
Perfectly. Darling, I've got a present for you.
Oh? What is it?
You'll see. Come along with me.
Thing?
Downstairs.
In the basement.
After you. Careful now, mind the steps.
Well, what is it? Oh, darling. It's a freezer.
Did you like it?
Oh, you know I've always wanted one. What a lovely surprise.
I have another one for you.
What is it?
This.
Thank you.
rest in pieces.
Yes?
It's finished.
Good. Are you all right?
Yeah. How soon can you get here?
I'm just packing. I should be there within the hour.
I'll be ready.
One more thing, Walter.
We'll have to take her along.
Why? There's no need for that.
No one's going to check up while we're away.
It'll be safer if there's nothing left behind. They may still suspect, but they'll have no proof. We'll dispose of the evidence on the way to the airport.
And look, we can't talk about it on the phone. We'll talk when you're here. But for God's sake, don't let anyone see you.
I'll bring my car round to the back, and I'll keep the kitchen door unlocked so I won't have to knock.
All right, but hurry. The sooner we're out of here, the better.
I'll be right there.
Yeah, I'll be waiting.
Walter. Walter.
Thank you.
Walter? Walter?
The next morning, they said I'd strangled Walter. I tried to tell them about Ruth and the hand, but it was gone. Everything was gone. But the hand was on my face. I chopped and chopped at it. Now do you believe me? Now?
Paranoid psychosis. How did she come to the asylum? She could have come as a doctor. And the wife? You learn the real case histories when you've made your choice. That's the service lift from the kitchen. The next patient?
His name is Bruno.
Bruno? This is Dr. Martin. What are you making?
Whatever you like.
Could it be a surgical gown?
I can make whatever you wish. It could be a surgical gown, or a shroud. I'm a tailor.
Doctors can sew. Stitch.
Always been a tailor. Always. Oh, Mr. Stebbins. Good evening.
It's the first of the month. The rent is due.
Mr. Stebbins, I got a wonderful idea.
Have you got the rent?
Every month you come here and always you are wearing the same suit.
Nothing wrong with my suit. Gives me good wear.
Wear, yes. But style, no. Now listen. For 1 month's rent, I could make for you such a suit.
I don't need a suit. And if I did, I wouldn't get it from you.
I haven't got it.
Now, see here.
No. You see here, Mrs. Stem. You see this shop. People, fine people used to come here for fine tailoring. Now, a little pressing, a little mending, that's all I get. I will pay the rent, but you must give me a little more time.
I'll tell you what. Today's Monday, right? I'll be back here on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning?
Bright and early. And if you haven't got the rent, you can start packing. No tricks now.
Tricks.
Your supper, it's ready.
I'm not hungry.
Something is wrong.
Not something, Anna. Everything. Mrs. Stebbins was here. He's given us 1 week. A man works hard all his life, and then in 1 week, where can we go?
Good evening. Is the proprietor in?
I am the proprietor. Go have your supper. Now, what can I do for you, Mr.
Smith? Am I correct in assuming that you can tailor a garment from any material of my own selection?
You want I should make you a suit?
Exactly.
I have a fine stock of woolens here.
That will not be necessary. I brought my own material.
I see. You will be wanting something special.
Correct. Something very special. There's enough here for a suit, I believe.
Unusual.
Special.
It will be difficult to work from such a fabric. But I can promise you a suit. Now, if you will just slip off your coat so I can make measure.
The suit is not for me. It is for my son.
Ah, when will he come in for a fitting?
It's to be a surprise.
Ah, a present.
You might call it that. I had written down all the measurements, made various diagrams of the style.
Expensive?
Then you'll have to charge me accordingly. Shall we say £200?
£200? I will begin immediately.
No. This schedule. It is of the greatest importance that you work on the suit only during the hours listed here.
But these times, they're all past midnight.
I happen to believe in astrology.
The stars?
I take it you are not a believer? No matter. All that concerns you is following these instructions to the letter. There must be no mistake. Is that clear? No mistake.
Everything will be as you wish, I swear.
You'll find my address written on the top of the first sheet. When may I have delivery?
Today is Monday. If I start tonight... I can bring you the suit on Friday.
Excellent. I shall expect you the moment it is finished. Remember my instructions.
Oh, I promise.
Good night.
Who was that man?
Customer. He ordered a suit. £200 he would pay.
Oh, no, I'm afraid. There is something not right in all this, something that will make you trouble.
I must do it. Said to work to 5 o'clock only. I tried to work a little longer. One who is finished. 4 nights, nothing but work. From midnight till just before dawn. Now it's done.
May I see it? It is strange. You are going to press it?
No. Mrs. Smith doesn't want it pressed.
Then what will you do?
Deliver it, just as he said. Right now.
At last. Did you bring it? Ah, good. Come in. Come in. This way. Careful now, there are two steps down. Study. The suit is completed.
Oh, yes. It was difficult working with such material and at night only.
But you followed the instructions.
Just as you ordered.
Splendid. You have no idea how much this means to me. And to my son.
Ah, yeah, your son. Where is he?
Never mind. Now, if I may see the suit. Oh, yes, of course, your fee. Just send me your account, and I'll take care of it.
I must have the money first. I have bills to pay. You wouldn't understand. You're rich.
On the contrary. I understand the situation only too well. It so happens at the moment, I'm in the same financial position as yourself.
You?
Don't misunderstand. In a very short while, I shall be in funds again. Just as soon as my son returns.
Your diamond?
This? It's a fake. It was real once, but I had to dispose of it in order to continue my work. My studies. This book now. It's very old, very rare. The only one of his kind left in the world. It cost me my fortune.
You gave all your money for a book?
A penny. But I needed it because of my son. I sold everything to buy it.
You're lying.
See for yourself. There is nothing left.
What is in that room?
That room is empty too. There is nothing in there, I tell you. Please.
You are a murderer.
No, I'm no murderer. He died a natural death. I knew a long time ago that it was inevitable. Can't you see? This is my son.
Your son?
Here's the one I was working for, planning for. The book told me what to do. That's why I had to make the suit. It is for him. Give it to me.
No. First, the money.
Can't stop me now. No one can stop me now. Give me that suit.
You sold the suit?
No.
Mr. Stebbings phoned just after you left. He said to remind you he was coming for his rent in the morning. I told him it was all right. You were collecting money from a customer tonight.
You told him? Oh, Anna, I asked you not to say a word about this to anyone.
Burn it. Put it in the stove and burn it. Forget about the suit. Forget I ever made the suit. Forget about Mr. Smith. Forget everything. Burn it. A fortune, he said.
I don't know what he will do now, but when people see how you look, perhaps they will come in.
I told you to burn the suit.
I put it on Otto.
Otto?
I made a name for him. I talk to him often when I am alone.
Anna, please, burn the suit.
I thought...
No one must ever know it existed.
Mr. Smith knows.
Mr. Smith is dead.
Dead?
I killed him.